Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Off the end boards, looking for Cousins. He plays it off the wall nicely. Cousins with a chance, scores! Benson gets it back to Dylan Cousins at the side of the goal. And the Buffalo Sabres have a 1-0 lead early in Tampa.
From behind the net, near corner, in front, Cousins scores! Short-handed goal by the Buffalo Sabres on the penalty kill unit again, and it's a 2-1 Buffalo lead. Jurgensen stays on side, right side, backhand pass in front, scores! Loose puck over the far post for Greenway, and the Sabres extend their lead here in the second period. It's now 3-1.
Sabres with the steal, far side in front, scores! Zach Benson gets the Sabres back to a two-goal advantage again as he taps one in. Post.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe, the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good morning. It's over. The season is mercifully over. A win to cap things off. All right. 4-2 last night over the Lightning. Eric Comrie got his third start in goal in like 5 months, and he got the win. Played like his life was on the line for a while there. Sabres win. They end the season with 84 points. 84 points. That is, at the moment, five out of a spot. The Flyers and the Capitals play each other in the final night of the season. Detroit and Pittsburgh have a game left, so they're either going to end up 6 or 7 points back of that final bar to clear for the playoffs. 84 points. It is the second highest point total that they've had, or maybe third. Got to remember that first year out of the drought. The Sabres' third highest point total during their 13-year playoff drought. 84 points. So, with, you know, by NHL standards, it's a winning record. 39, 37, and 6. So the season has a bow on it. We'll put a bow on it. The coach and GM are scheduled to talk on Friday. Players before that on Wednesday and Thursday. Locker room cleanout day tomorrow and Thursday. So we'll get some player media then. Am I right in assuming that the fact that they have scheduled Don Granato for a Friday meeting with the media, that he is going to remain their head coach? I was already thinking that that was going to happen, that he was going to remain the head coach, but would it be any different? I guess it still could be that they would make a change. I went back to, I think it was 2017. I don't know if Bylsma talked, but Tim Murray met with the media days after the season ended, did a lengthy, like, 35-minute press conference that you can find on YouTube. By the way, I did that. There's just something about listening to Tim Murray. Even now, even way after it's over, there's something about listening to Tim Murray that's got a, I don't know, it just keeps you hooked. But anyways, he got fired after that. It's okay. Season ends. Murray, and I watched the first couple minutes, everything was about, like, are you keeping the coach? Are you keeping the coach? And then he was the one, along with the coach, that ended up getting the gate. So, I guess they still could make a move on Granato after Friday. Or I guess they could even do that before. But I think we are headed for an offseason, and we are headed for next season with Don Granato still as the Sabres head coach. So here we go. The offseason. You ready for it? What do you want? What do we want? We got the draft, of course, in 9 days. We'll do plenty of that today. Matt DeBerry covers the Georgia Bulldogs, going to join us at 8:30 on Ladd McConkey, who I think I called on Friday my favorite draft idea. He also has some on Adonai Mitchell, who is going to be drafted out of Texas, but Mitchell transferred. He spent 2 years at Georgia before he got to Austin, Texas this past year. So we got a lot of draft coming your way too, but I don't know. What are fans in the mood for with the Sabres right now? A big, giant trade that's going to be similar to what the Panthers did when they got Matthew Tkachuk? Because maybe the most likely outcome is the status quo. They're going to bring everybody back. They're going to bring back the coach. They're going to bring back the assistant coaches. They're going to bring back most of the players. They're going to make a little change here or there. You know, signings on the same level that they made last offseason. Last offseason, they missed by 1 point, and they went into the summer, and they said, all right, we're gonna bring in Connor Clifton and Eric Johnson. We're going to bring in a couple of third-pair defensemen, and we're going to hope that stabilizes our blue line a little bit more, and that'll be our big move. There wasn't really anything up front. Did they make a single change at forward last year? A single one? They traded for Greenway at the deadline, and they drafted Benson. So that's, I guess, a change, but you were always going to make your pick. Did they bring someone in from outside the organization and forward? I don't think they did. They kept everybody. Now, that is maybe where you'll get some change. I don't know how much it's going to rate. It's not going to be this massive, you know, change where you are sending out Cousins in a trade where you're packaging him with a first and a prospect and you're going and getting some superstar. I mean, what are they probably doing? They're probably trying to replace Victor Olofsson, right? Who played their final game for the Sabres last night? Victor Olofsson? I mean, that one has got to be minus 10,000 that last night was his final game for the Buffalo Sabres. That is just run its course, right? It's been long enough. Olofsson's been here for 6 years now and was drafted 10 years ago. It's been a decade of, well, hearing, you know, there were a few years of hearing about, hey, there's this guy that they picked in the seventh round that's overseas in Sweden scoring a bunch of goals, and hey, this guy in Rochester scoring a bunch of goals. That's run its course. His Sabre career should be over. Maybe his NHL career is over. I don't know. Maybe he'll go back to Sweden or someone will give him a shot. I don't know. But Olofsson's played his last game. Has Tyson Jost played his last game for the Sabres? He was in the lineup last night. Has Eric Robinson played his final game for the Sabres? What about Gergensen's? Is that just going to continue to happen time after time after time? They are going to want him back every single year. He's going to want to come back every single year. Because that guy has never had a taste of winning. He has no appetite to win. Who else? Skinner? No, I think not Skinner. I wouldn't put him on that list. Krebs, I guess, could be RFA at the end of the year. They could move him. His value's pretty low, but they could do it. Did Bryson play his last game? He's actually been nice. Did Joki Haru? Comrie certainly did. I mean, there is some dead weight on this team that they will have to replace. They've already moved off of Okposo. And Okposo was playing key situations and decent minutes for this hockey team. And power play situations, penalty kill at times. Well, that started to fade as this season kind of kept going. Okposo out, that's one spot. Olofsson, that's another. You know, like, there are going to be depth moves for them to make, but do they have the appetite for something big? Do they have the will and the ability to pull the trigger on something big? They have got a million prospects and picks. They are loaded. Picks-wise, I mean, they don't have anything substantial. It's like fourth and seventh rounders that they have extra of. They don't have like an additional first round pick, but they've got the prospects. They've got the guys they've drafted in the first round. And they, you know, like we carved out a couple spots there, but is there room for all of them to make? You don't even know if you want them to all make the team next year and have multiple 19, 20, 21-year-old rookies in your lineup opening night next season. So is Rosine here next year? He's been on fire lately in Rochester, I guess. There's, of course, Savoy, who's been torching the WHL. All right. Kulik. I mean, I've got prospect fatigue on some level, too, which is every time, for 10 years, it's, you know who's got the number one prospect pool in the NHL? It's the Buffalo Sabres. Like, come on, is there any point in time where that is going to be translated into wins? Real wins. And there's two ways of doing that. The prospects show up and they're great. And you have, if you have four of them, then the odds of one of them being great is probably pretty good. There also is trading them. And that is, I wonder what we'll hear from Adams on Friday if he hints at anything along those lines. Like, hey, we've got a lot of prospects on the way that are getting really close. They're getting close. Like, other teams are going to look at our pool and say, hey, you've got all these guys that are about ready to get shots at the NHL, and you don't have enough spots to get everybody a shot. So, hey, we'll talk. What kind of value do they have in the first place? You usually got to package them with a lot of other stuff to go get a really good player. That is the move, though, that I think, if they're not going to fire the coach, that to me would be the bare minimum to get people invested. By opening night of next year, I mean, you could go make your massive swing Cousins, Thompson, you know, one of these studs on the team in the Tkachuk level trade. I just don't think that's all that realistic. It's fun to talk about the Brady Tkachuk idea. It's a fun idea, but how realistic is it? It's not that likely. So, but why does a trade of your best prospect, a first round pick for whoever? I don't know off the top of my head, like who's going to be available this summer. Usually every summer you get a guy that's at least top six level. Whoever the best forward is that becomes available this summer. Like, are the Sabres going to be in on that? Are they going to want to be in on that? Because if it doesn't happen with a trade, I think, you know, maybe this is the point. Maybe they're just going to run it back. They're just going to run it all back. And that's not going to feel great, right? That is not going to feel great at all with a fan base that is as demoralized as the Sabres fan base is. The opening night next year, like, who's going to feel great if the lineup looks relatively the same? They add in, you know, the new version of Eric Robinson, the new version of Jordan Greenway. They plug those guys in to their third and fourth line openings. Maybe one of the prospects makes the team, and that's it. Lukanen and Levi in goal, you've already got that settled. Your defensemen are already pretty much settled. That's what they do. Dahlin's the captain. You know, maybe that's a difference. I don't know. I'm hard-pressed to see them getting back to a place where fans are truly excited. Like, what would it take for you? 803-0550 is the phone number. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Like, what would it take for you to get excited about next season? Would it even be the coach getting let go? Would it be Lindy? Would it be Lindy? That is always a part of the Lindy talk that it has some goodwill for the Sabres in that their fans would love it. Most would. Not everybody would. Some would feel like, hey, you're going back in time. What are we doing here? We're supposed to be moving forward, not digging into the past to try to fix the current problems. So I don't want to make it sound like everyone would love it, but I think a lot of people would love it. I think that opening night, they're introducing the team, and then they start introducing the coaches, and Buffalo Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. That's gonna get a loud ovation. That's gonna get some real energy from people. But that's playing on nostalgia a little bit, which, to be fair, it's kind of what the Sabres have to do these days, right? They got to play on nostalgia as much as possible to get any sort of goodwill from the fans, because anything that's going on right now, just nobody feels good about any of it. So play on the nostalgia, play on the goodwill, you know? And if it's not a Lindy idea, if they brought in some accomplished NHL Stanley Cup winning head coach or someone that's even, as if to win, Gerard Gallant. I don't think they're ever going to hire Gallant. But a guy of that resume, guy of that ilk, someone that could be fired that I'm not even thinking about. Is that enough for you to get excited for next season? The thing that I don't even think they're going to do? It's tough. It's going to be, we'll see. It could be a fun off season to have ideas, to hear from Adams how aggressive he'll want to be this summer. Friday, maybe we'll get a better sense of that. That's when Adams will talk too. 803-0550 is the phone number. The Sabres win over Tampa 4-2. Dylan Cousins had a couple of goals. Made his season look a little bit more respectable. Zach Benson got to 11 on the year last night. Greenway got to double digits. So a couple of guys padding their stats a little bit in the final game of the season. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's go to Bob in Blaisdell. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning.
I'm just I was hoping that they would fire both Adams and Granato, but if not, they got to come up with at least one, maybe two top six forwards in the off season to even kind of make it.
Yeah,
like you're trying to do something. The trade deadline last year, not this year, but last year. He should have brought somebody in, used the prospects then. Last year's offseason that he sat around and did nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. They keep bringing the retreads back for the third and fourth line. That makes no sense. That's not going to bring fans back. And, you know, I'm just, I don't understand why Yuri Kulik hasn't been up yet. Mm-hmm. And big, really frustrated, but it just seems like our prospects leave here and they thrive everywhere else, and that's even more frustrating than not seeing us win. It's just, we know we have good players. It's got to be the coaching. It's got to be something here that's causing them not to win.
Yep.
So they have to come up with something big to make us want to come back.
Yep. No, I agree with that. Thanks, Bob, for the call. That's Getting Connected with Their Fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Missing the boat? I mean, sure. How much did we talk about, I don't know if we've said his name in a year, but how much did we talk about Jacob Chychrun last year? It was every day. It was every day, because it felt like the perfect type of move for them at that time. Like, hey, this guy's available. Maybe they tried, right? But they didn't pull it off. This guy's available. He's a top four defenseman. He's young. The contract situation works. And I don't think at the time he had a no trade clause, which, when you're, you know, trying to find trades for the Sabres, that's important to dive through. He was available. And it felt like, how can you not get this done? You can outbid anybody you want. I know it's not that simple. There are other factors. Does the guy want to come to Buffalo? Does the team want to work with you? Does the team even talk to you? I don't know. That's part of my thought process about this summer, though. If the best forward that does become available, whoever that may be, whoever the best forward is that becomes available for trade this summer, what's the excuse for not getting him when, with all your prospects, you have the number one prospect pool in the league, you can outbid anybody you want. If you really wanted to do it, you should be able to outbid anybody. But the GMs made one real sizable trade, and it was a one-for-one trade. It's not quite the, hey, are you willing to overpay to get the best player in a deal? That's not quite what Byram from Middlestat was. Let's go to Paul in Buffalo. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Joe. You know, we've talked enough over the years for you to know I'm an engaged fan.
Mm-hmm.
Two seasons ago, I went to 12 games because I started to see Darlene's greatness, and Tage showed us glimpses. And last year, I went to 25 games, more than I've been to in a long time. And by the end of the season, I was angry because I had seen 7 wins last year at home out of those 25 games. This year, I bought tickets for 10 games and went to 7, sold one, and just didn't even bother with the other two. And where I'm at now is my Sabres budget for next year is now my NHL budget. Every year when the Sabres are out of it, I pick a team in each conference. This year, I picked the New York Rangers and the Edmonton Oilers. And if that is the Stanley Cup final, I am taking $2,000 from my NHL budget, and I am going to see Connor McDavid at the world's most famous arena because I can just take the Amtrak there. That is what the Sabres have done to me. I'm done not seeing playoff hockey. So let's go Rangers. Let's go Oilers. I want to see Jesus on Ice take the road show to Madison Square Garden because I will be there. Have a great show, Joe.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for the call. The playoffs begin on Saturday. Saturday for the Stanley Cup playoffs. And, right, pick a team. I'm talking with friends about, like, should we go to an Amherst playoff game again? Like, last year that was fun. Last year that was cool. They went on a deep run. The AHL playoffs. Every year, mid-April, if you want playoff hockey, you either do what Paul does there, where let me just pick a team to root for that's in it still, or let me become an AHL fan. The minor leagues. Let me get to the minor leagues now. One of these years it's actually going to happen, right? One of these years it's actually going to happen. They'll luck their way in. They are, I'll say this. Is it all doom and gloom? I mean, it kind of feels like it here on the day. The morning after the season ends, 84 points. They're going to miss by 6 or 7 points. Big drop. The pace, you know, I've been saying the pace came down. A couple of wins recently by some of these teams. Detroit with a comeback win. They won with less than 2 minutes to go. They lost in regulation last night. Detroit would have been eliminated from playoff contention. They came back with like a minute left, then they won it in overtime. They're at 89. So the pace might end up getting to 91. The Islanders are 8-1-1 in their last 10. So it might end up being the exact same that it was last year, which is like 91, 92 points. And the Sabres drop by 7 points. They got better goaltending, and they drop by 7 points. But is it all doom and gloom? They are maybe at a point where they get a hot year, and they get in. So, there's that. But what could get you excited for the start of the season? 803-0550 is the phone number. We're going to talk plenty of draft. Matt DeBerry, Georgia, coming up at 8:30 on Adonai Mitchell, too, from Georgia, but mostly Ladd McConkey, who I called on Friday, my favorite idea for the Bills, at 28. It's Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550. Time for your phone calls when we come back. You're on WGR.
From behind the net, near corner, in front, Cousins scores! Shorthanded goal by the Buffalo Sabres on the penalty kill unit again, and it's a 2-1 Buffalo lead.
Moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth Jewelers. Sabres season comes to a close in the regular season. No Don Granato today. We expect him perhaps later in the week. He and Kevin Adams will speak to close out the season, but no Don on the show today. So there you go. It's the end of the Sabres season. And
mercifully.
We're taking your calls on it. I got hot on the 3-2-1 point system last night watching this game.
Yeah.
Also, this happens all the time, Joe, right? Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. This happens all the time. Where was that all year?
Mm-hmm.
That happened
with every win. I feel
every
like
single
happened.
Win.
Yeah.
Hey, I've been saying this to you for probably 6 months. Hey, you want to know why they won the game? It's because they lost the one before it.
Mm-hmm. Right, which is exactly what happened last night. They end up as like the most mid team I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
They 84 points, 39-37-6. Their goal differential was plus two, like almost right down the middle. And they never went on a longer win streak than three. They never went on a longer losing streak than four. And there were only a couple of streaks. That's the most mid-team in NHL history.
Yeah.
They never got hot. They never got cold. Again, the goal differential is like right down the middle. It's wild.
We've got plenty to get to on them. Paul Hamilton at 7 o'clock. They'll do postseason meetings and locker cleanout. I have an email from a listener named Rob. And Rob, thanks for writing this. Rob wrote me a novel about the Sabres. A book. I can't read the whole thing. It would take maybe the full segment or more. But I appreciate all the what he wrote here. And the first paragraph to me is something that's, I think, really well said and important. So he writes, similar to what I wrote back when Eichel was said to be wanting out, my number one criticism of the team is that, to appearances, there still doesn't seem to be an urgency to win. And this is the part I really like. And the team would rather throw seasons down the drain, sticking to September plans, than change course in season when it's clear to most observers that things just aren't working. Mm. And boy, is that ever right.
Yeah.
That is so right. They enter the season with a plan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
September, and they don't move. How many seasons have we watched die because of that? Forget this season.
Which 10-game win streak
season. The 10-game win streak season.
Holy cow.
You could have made any sort of adjustment to add and say, let's get this thing over the finish line. We're probably going to make the playoffs. A season where, you know, Phil Housley has them in last place. Which would have been the season before the 10-game win streak, I believe, right? Yeah. Darlene's on the 10-game win streak.
Yes.
No change there.
No, wait. Isn't Housley's first year the 10-game win streak year, and the second year after that is...
No.
Okay.
Because the 10-game win streak year, they didn't finish dead last.
So he gets fired after the 10-game win streak year?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that's the year where they improve a little bit. Because Darlene's on the 10-game win streak team. Listen to us, the 10-game win streak.
Right.
It's like a highlight of the drought. He's on that team because he assists on the play that Skinner scores against the Sharks. These are dark, these are dark times.
Yeah.
So anyway, I like that point about how they don't adjust their plans in September. They're gonna whatever they start with, they're like a best ball draft. Well, this is our team.
Yeah.
And that's it.
You're not allowed to make, you know,
they're in the Vampire League. You're not making any additions. Although this year they do with Byram at the deadline and whatever. So I just think that's an interesting observation, an interesting way to say it about what they are and who they've been.
Yep. Coaching changes too. Like they could have made a coaching change middle of this season if they want. Wasn't some teams, maybe even a lot of teams, would have said in November or December, "Hey, we need something here." Right? Like, let's spark the boys by we're going to fire Don Granato and we're going to bring in blank. Gallant, and we're going to go from there. And a lot of teams do that, and a lot of times it works for those teams. So that's not a move they ever even consider, though. It doesn't even feel like that's a move they would ever make.
No.
Maybe they would next year if Granato comes back next season. He's supposed to talk on Friday, if I assume that means he's back. Well, I don't know. But, you know, maybe they would get to that point next year, but like how I don't even know if I want to believe that.
Well, I would ask it this way. Has Terry Pegula ever fired a coach too early?
No.
The earliest would have been Housley or Bylsma, who both got two seasons.
Lindy,
no way.
Him personally?
No.
Because that's, what, does he give Lindy 1 year?
They make the playoffs with Lindy.
Yeah. But Pegula shows up like right at the end there.
He does.
And then he gives them 1 year, they miss, and then like 10 games, and he's out.
It's a lockout shortened season.
Yeah.
Things are going the wrong way.
Yeah, you're right. That's not really.
There's a case to be made for Lindy, but they are consistently a team that is not, to my eye, viewed as active so much as they are slow to act.
Right.
So I don't know about Granato. There was a report last night from a guy that I'll confess to not knowing. I don't know who this person is.
Okay.
Or, you know how the world works in the era of podcasts and, you know, there's a lot of people
the world
there.
Of everyone having a blue check mark.
Yes.
Also.
Yes, a little bit of that. So I got to find exactly who this person, where they went off to. But it was a report. It was a Boston guy that said, have seen that there's going to be major changes on and off the ice in Buffalo. And I thought, oh, are you and why would you think that?
I was going to say.
So I'll find exactly who it was. I think it was like Jimmy Murray. For some reason, it's not showing up in my feed in terms of where I usually save things.
Because he's deleted it. Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe I dreamed it. It's there.
It's possible.
It's possible.
It's possible,
I dreamed it.
Right? Yeah. So, I had a dream the other night. They retired Gergensen's number while he was still on the team.
Wow.
That's where I'm at as a Sabre fan right now.
That's something.
That happened like two nights ago. Yep.
I'm searching Sabres on and off because that might tell me the person that actually did it. We'll see if that gets me to my destination.
Would it not be flooring if they did that? Major changes on and off the ice? Would that not be flooring if they did that? They're probably running it all back.
Yeah.
That's what I'm expecting. I'll be maybe even pleasantly surprised if they don't. But I'm fully expecting and anticipating they just want to run it all back, and they will take a couple of the dead weight spots, like Olofsson, and maybe they have a Robinson replacement or something. They'll add a couple of bottom six forwards, and that'll be their team.
Well, last night I started thinking about this in terms of like their plan and what they wanted to be. They wanted to be a better defensive team, right? And last night on the broadcast, Rob was pointing out how Tampa, you know, Tampa might be in trouble in the playoffs because they're not really a good defensive team. And that's right. Based on goals against.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabres versus the Lightning. The Lightning this year gave up nearly... they gave up 20 more goals than the Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
264. That's a lot of goals against, right? In the Eastern Conference, Tampa and their goals against, there are a handful of teams that have been worse, and they're all the bad teams. Columbus, Montreal, New Jersey, Ottawa, Detroit. Those are the only teams worse defensively than Tampa. But Tampa's in the playoffs. How'd they do it? Kucherov has 100 assists.
Yeah. Did he get to 100?
No, I think he's stuck at 99.
99, okay.
Kucherov has more.
They have a game left.
Okay, there you go.
They have a game
Kucherov
left.
Kucherov has more assists than any Sabre has points by a lot.
By like 40.
Yeah.
By 40.
No Sabre hit 60 points.
It's like the Gretzky stats. Like Gretzky would be the all-time leading scorer without any goal.
So here are the Lightning.
Yeah.
The Lightning are a team that, how are they built? Play wide open and score.
Yeah.
And they're in the playoffs
again.
Well,
they have elite talent.
They do.
They have elite talent.
They do. The Sabres are a team that we thought was blossoming some elite talent, and Quinn got hurt. And sure, if you want to say, you know, Thompson, yeah, all right, got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Skinner dropped off. You didn't necessarily have all your big guns. But the way the Sabres got to the doorstep last year was playing like the Lightning play. And then they made a decision to play a different style. And Granato even said it like midway through the season, we had a conversation of going back to play the way we did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they ever fully committed to that.
It didn't look like
it. No. It was a team that used to be able to go up and down and score with anybody, and defense be damned, they'll be fine. That's what Tampa did. Tampa's in the playoffs. So it gets back to that email I read at the start of the segment from Rob, who said they have a plan in September and they don't deviate from it. What was the plan in September? It's important that we get better defensively.
Right.
After being the team that went bonkers offensively and almost riding into the playoffs, they decided they needed to be playing a different way.
Yeah.
And the injuries. But if they played wide open, are they afraid that Lukanen would not have been as good? Was it about trying to grow a goaltender in a good defensive system? How good were they defensively?
Man, if that was your season was about. They the last time I checked, they were better, but they were still close. They were not, like, they were like middle of the pack at best.
In the conference, they're kind of in the opposite spot that Tampa is in. In the conference.
Yeah.
Tampa's the team that's bad defensively and good.
They have the second most goals in the conference, I think.
Tampa?
Yeah.
This year. So defensively, the Sabres have only given up fewer goals. I'm sorry. These teams have given up fewer goals than the Sabres. Panthers, Hurricanes, Bruins, Rangers. All good teams. They tried to be that when what they were actually was the Tampa version.
Mm-hmm.
They probably should have been Tampa.
Yeah.
But instead, it's a team with nobody scoring 60 points.
Yeah. They, I will say this. They give the 10th most scoring chances in the league this year, the Sabres.
And Lukanen saved them.
10th most.
Routinely.
Yeah. Were they better defensively? Last year they were like, they gave up like the second most. And this year they were the 10th most. So like, congratulations. You went from 30th defensively, at least in that one stat, to 22nd.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Your goals went way down. I wonder though, like, can they play like Tampa year to year? Tampa has a guy who scored 50 goals in Braden Point and a guy who's got 100 assists right now in Kucherov. Like, the Sabres have good players, but they do not have Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov.
No, but we thought, if Tage is...
We thought Tage could be...
He could be a 50-goal guy the way he played last year, although this year, didn't get to 30.
Right.
Injuries. Okay. Paterka coming up is great. Quinn coming up is great. Like, if Quinn doesn't get hurt, how different are things? Yeah. They might be different.
They need one of those guys to not just be like a really good contributor, though. They're going to need one of those guys to be like, you got to be a star.
And I think they both have the potential.
Yep.
Not Benson right now.
Not Benson
but
yet.
Quinn but Quinn and Paterka both have the potential. Thank you to Rob, who tweeted in and found the tweet. Jimmy Murphy is the guy's name. Jimmy Murphy. Yeah. Editor-in-chief, Bruins reporter, Boston Hockey Now, and co-host of the Sick Podcast, the NHL. So I don't know how reputable this person is.
But, or how connected he is.
Right, but he tweeted yesterday, hearing there could be pretty big changes off the ice coming for the Buffalo Sabres. Multiple scenarios that could happen. Like, that's not really saying anything.
Multiple scenarios that could happen?
Yeah.
That feels like something a GM would say.
I saw this, and I reached out to the super secret Sabres source, who I haven't talked to regularly in years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's gone quiet. But, I can still reach out and say what's up. The super secret Sabres source was born from a coaching and GM change.
Mm-hmm.
He was the person that alerted me before they fired Bylsma and Murray.
And Murray, yeah, the same day.
Said, it's a day of reckoning today. There's going to be a house cleaning. And we did not expect a house cleaning.
No.
And then they did.
No, I pointed out, when Granato talks Friday, should we assume he's back? One example I pointed to is Murray did a press conference.
Yes, he did.
Murray did a long press conference where, I listened to the first few minutes of it yesterday. Listening to Murray still is, it's not like any other executive in sports, whatever. He never got asked about anything. Like, do you think you're back next year? It was all about, are you going to fire Bylsma?
Yeah.
And, he did that, and then days later, he was gone too.
I remember from his press conference with Bylsma that he criticized Bylsma for not being a good enough people person. Maybe spend a little more time with the players, get to know them a little bit. He just kind of walked in and did the job.
Yeah.
So, to all that about the super secret Sabres source, so I reached out and I said, over the years, this is a person that knew what was going to happen with the Sabres pretty routinely. I asked, what's the plan right now? Who's safe? And he said, Kevin Adams probably safe. Don Granato a little less safe, but expects both back. So we'll see. Like I said, it's not a person I talk to all that much anymore. I don't think there's the same level of whatever, but still mildly connected, and that's what I got out of him. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, I've got one more attempt to convince everybody on earth that the 3-2-1 point system is not only good, but that they're still talking about the current point system wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people are still doing that. It's a new attack angle, Joe, I've never arrived upon until last night when I was thinking about how to make this point. So
okay.
I've got that for you at some point. Paul, top of the hour, football stuff.
Justin Jefferson rumors. Let's fire him up.
Do we actually have him?
No.
You keep trying to make those happen.
He didn't show up yesterday. Just saying.
CeeDee Lamb not showing up.
No. Nope,
look at either. All these divas.
Right. Diggs showed up.
Diggs showed up to Houston.
Diggs showed up in Houston. No.
All right. 803-0550. Happy Tuesday. It's nice out again today. It's it's amazing. What does it do for your mental health when it's this nice out? Yesterday was a gift from the universe.
Nice out. I played tennis yesterday.
It's enough to make you think spring is nice. We spend a lot of time mad at spring, and then a day like yesterday comes along, you're like, oh, spring.
Yeah.
You can't stay mad at you.
You can get mad again, though, in 3 days when it's going to be like 50 and pouring rain for an entire day. But for today, enjoy today so far. Clouds look like there's none. So
803-0550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
You know what, let's just stick with the game tonight. You know, a lot of great efforts out there tonight. Obviously, I can reflect on, not where we wanted to be for where we're at on the season. So I'll leave it at that.
Don Granato asked about whether or not he'll be back as coach if he expects to be. Leaving it, just kind of leaving it. All right. Maybe that question gets answered today, tomorrow, this week. Kevin Adams, Don Granato expected to speak later this week. We will not talk to Don today, but that is scheduled because of locker cleanout meetings and such. It's a different kind of day, so do not necessarily read into that.
He has now been the Sabres coach for 3 full seasons plus 28 games from the COVID year, and I wouldn't put the failures of the previous coach on him, but it is kind of incredible to look at it and see that he was hired 5 years ago. He's been in the He was the assistant coach before that, so yeah. He's been in the building for 5 years.
We'll talk to Paul in a moment. Lines have come out. The over-unders on where the receivers get drafted.
Yeah. Have you studied them?
I did. I took a good hard look.
Some guys are lower than others,
yep.
Like for where the Bills are at 28.
The biggest problem I have is, do I bet over or under? How do we do it from a language standpoint? Like, Ladd McConkey's over-under was 33.5. I'd like to vote or bet earlier.
So you want the under.
Okay, under.
I think.
That's what I mean. It's a higher pick,
but it's a lower under. It's a lower number.
Yeah, sure. Okay, then under.
Yeah.
Under 33.5 picks go by the time Ladd McConkey. Because
yeah.
I think the Bills could take him at 28. I think the Ravens could.
Uh-huh.
The Lions could, who are behind the Bills. The Chiefs could.
Yep.
And then you get to the second round, you're right back to the top of the draft, and under 33.5. I'd like to bet that for Ladd McConkey.
Did you
just describe him earlier this show, this morning, as your favorite idea for the Bills at 28?
I think
you did.
I don't know who the other person would be.
That's fine.
I don't know. Like, I think he's almost it by default. I don't know.
I mean, I was only going to make the point that we move around a lot because we're waiting, and that might have been.
Oh, there was a day. There was definitely a few weeks where it was Mitchell,
A.D. Mitchell,
and then
Brian Thomas Jr.
Leggett was more recent, and now I feel like I'm getting spooked by Leggett because of his over under, and where some people have him ranked.
His over under is what?
44.5.
Mm-hmm.
44.5. Chris Trapasso has him ranked like 60th. So you know, it depends what ranking you're looking at. Do you see where Mitchell's over under is?
17.5.
17.5.
Yeah. I saw Matt Harmon yesterday.
Same as Brian Thomas.
Yeah. Matt Harmon posting about A.D. Mitchell, saying there's a lot to like. A lot to like. Just like every prospect's not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
He's got a lot to like on A.D. Mitchell.
Other over-unders, by the way. Troy Franklin, 41.5. Keon Coleman, 48.5.
We got to talk about Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
Because Keon Coleman's getting a little bit of a glow-up right now. I've seen it even from, you know, some film people. Like, don't get too scared by this guy. He wins a certain way, but that doesn't mean you have to be scared of him. So, you know, we'll talk about it. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Paul Hamilton, when we return, wrapping up the Sabres season. It'll be his last post-game kind of chat with us. And from here, we go to locker clean-out and everything that comes with it. Tage Thompson left the game early. He does not get to 60 or does not get to 30 goals. No one gets to 60 points. Dylan Cousins has a nice game. Eric Comrie gets his second win of the season. Comrie won his first start and his last start. There you go.
And nothing in between.
That's what he did.
That's tough.
Jeremy and Joe, you can join us 803-0550 on WGR.